Well, as I mentioned, new National leader Todd Muller has indicated that the party will pledge pushing up the age of eligibility progressively from 65 to 67, starting in 2037. The issue has been bubbling away for some years and is considered very politically risky. But as with many things, the presence of an ongoing global pandemic has caused us to review some of our sacred cows. Could one be the raising of the age of super and whether it remains universal? Now, last year, New Zealand Super cost $14.5 billion, and that cost is increasing by more than $1 billion each year. And by 2024, it's predicted to cost the country nearly $20 billion a year. So before we go to our panellists on this, let's have Dr. Eric Crampton's view. Dr. Crampton is a senior economist at the New Zealand Initiative. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So politically risky, but is it time to review whether or not New Zealand should lift that age and indeed have it targeted?
Well, it's been time to review the age of eligibility for rather some time. We've been talking about it for a decade. Now, before COVID, New Zealand Super was always sustainable in the sense that we weren't going to have the international debt collectors beating down our doors because of the settings on it, but it did have some particular equity implications. What the existing settings meant was that an increasing proportion of government's expenditure was going to be going to a cohort that was increasingly relatively well off. So as health expectancy has increased and working lifespan has increased, so people can be more productive for a longer period, if we compare back to when New Zealand Super started, not that many people would have been in fit for work after the age of 65. Now it's fairly common. That means that more government spending is going to those who are fit, capable, and relatively wealthy since their houses have been paid off compared to benefits to those who are in greater need. Now that's sustainable, but it might have some equity implications. We'd had a 2018 report recommending some changes that we thought addressed some of those equity considerations, where we recommended not just an increase in the age of super eligibility, but ratcheting it to the measure of health expectancy. So this is a fairly new measure that Stats New Zealand has been putting out, where it's not just life expectancy, because life expectancy can pick up a lot of time when you'd be in nursing homes and not really able to work, but health expectancy, healthy life expectancy, how long you should be able to expect to be able to be fit and in work and having a productive life. And as that increases over time, after an initial increase to the age of eligibility for New Zealand Super, we think that in the same way that it's indexed to wages, that should probably be changed to prices anyways, but in the same way that we ratchet benefits over time, we should ratchet the age of eligibility so that it stops being this political football all the time and having these lurches. Instead, every time that there's been a six-month increase in the age of health expectancy, we could have a six-month increase in the age of ended super eligibility forecast for a decade out. So there's always time to plan.
Do you have a comment on this, Sue? The raising the age of eligibility, some can work way past the eligibility age, others can't.
I remain absolutely committed to saying that we should keep the age at 65. And among other, the two main reasons from my point of view, one, it's expectancy and health expectancy that Eric's been talking about. It doesn't apply across the board. For Māori and Pacifica people, the life expectancy and health is much lower, and I think everybody knows that now. This is really part of what should be taken into account. And the second thing is that at the moment, our welfare system is so unfair and punitive that moving at whatever point people can move to super, if they're already on a benefit, sick, disabled, out of work, caring for grandchildren, or whatever the situation is when you're on a benefit, people are just hanging out to get on super, not only because there's more income involved, but also because how you're treated by MSD is so differently.
Right.
If we had a basic income system which was fair and where people were treated the same whether they were 18 or 80, I'd probably feel It wouldn't even matter if he had a basic income.
Quite a bit about raising the pension age and superannuation. And I will get your comment from you very, very shortly. Hamish says, Wallace, I've worked in New Zealand in the arts for the last 40 years. On a good year, I meet my fixed costs. In a bad year, every other, I don't. Savings? No. But, Sue, I just wanted to say what Susan St. John said, who's the Retirement Policy and Research Centre Director. Back in Feb, she said, hard decisions needed to be made about the cost of New Zealand Super and whether there were better uses for that money. Going on to say that increasingly the younger generation is looking sideways at the older population, seeing that they have had all the kinds of advantages that are not enjoyed by younger people. Your thoughts?
Susan and I, we agree on a lot of things, but not on this. She's dead right about the younger generation looking askance. But the solution, is... As I said earlier, I think the solution ultimately is to have a basic income with add-ons for disability, children and age.
Peter.
Well, I don't agree with raising the age. When the English government introduced legislation to that effect, and when I was in Parliament, I voted against it. I think it's the wrong thing to do. I think it's looking at only one aspect of the whole superannuation issue. I've always favoured a flexible superannuation arrangement whereby someone can take a lower rate of superannuation if their circumstances warrant it from the age of 60 or a higher rate if they defer until the age of 70. But alongside that, I've also favoured making KiwiSaver compulsory and restricting the opt-out provisions of that so that people build up a good retirement fund that they can access from age 65. They have some flexibility about when they choose to take New Zealand superannuation. Over time, with more people likely to be working longer, the age will drift up effectively anyway. And I think what you'll find is over time, greater reliance on KiwiSaver under that scenario, making New Zealand superannuation less relevant. Let it sort itself out rather than have a solution imposed. We've had too many issues over the years where governments have imposed solutions on superannuation, only have to turn around and unwind them.
These figures from back in February, the number of New Zealand retirees getting their superannuation while earning more than $100,000 has topped 30,000. So costing taxpayers more than $500 million each year. Is there not a better way to do super?
Well, if you were to opt for the solution that I was proposing just a moment ago, a lot of people would actually choose to defer their superannuation, those who were higher earners. Those who were struggling to get much beyond the age of 60 physically might well welcome the chance to take a reduced rate from the age of 61 or 62, so they've got some quality of life, and they have this awful situation at the moment, just hanging on desperately, sort of driving themselves into an early grave so that they can get the superannuation at 65. I'm less fussed about the figure about the higher income earners because I think over time they will sort themselves out. But I do think it's important superannuation is there as a safety net for those that need it and for those that need it before the age of 60, around the age of 60, before the age of 65.